How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Awesome. Well, my name is Jesse Wilichenko. I am the youth director here at Abundant Life. And it is my honor and a privilege to be preaching here to you today, the word of which I feel God spoke to me over the past few weeks when James asked me to preach on this day. So I've called this sermon, Operate All Paths. And quickly, for those who don't know, before I get into this, I just want to quickly explain who Jesus is, right? Because that's important to know. He is a person who walked around aimlessly half the time preaching to people and performing miracles. He also set a standard of which we as Christians are to do our best to abide by. He set the standard. So Jesus' impact on people is very important, and because his impact was for everyone. I'm not sure if you all know this, but Jesus impacted anyone that was in his way during his time on earth. He wasn't a rich man's God. He wasn't a poor man's God. He was a man for all people, and he did so on a daily basis. Jesus made a difference in everybody's life, and we believe he operated every path that he walked on. So because of that, I think we should believe that our church should be operating all paths in life, meaning there shouldn't be one street in Lactobani or anywhere else in this world that isn't operated by a Christian. There shouldn't be any entertainment outlet that doesn't have a Christian in it thanking God. And we do have that. We have several. I've seen many. There's one not too long ago. Her name is Lauren Daigle, right? She was on Ellen. And just to remind you on who she is, when our worship team sang Noel, Light of the World during our Christmas program, that was a Lauren Daigle song. And I know what people might think. She was on a mainstream television channel. Whoa, but slow down. That's her path in that light, okay? She's operating it to the best of her ability. And who are we to judge on how she's operating her path? We need to be keeping our eyes focused on our own road and see what's ahead before cutting in on someone else's lane. Because that's still a Christian sister who is in the spotlight in North America, spreading the gospel to the best of her ability on her path. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, because that's the standard of which Jesus set. So let's operate our paths, right? Anybody here know somebody that misses the point? Okay, men, don't be looking at your spouses. Look at me. Don't look over there, all right? Look at me. Right? Do you know people who just miss the point? Kids are notorious for this, right? Kids are notorious for missing the point. You try explaining something to a five-year-old and you feel like it goes in one ear, out the other half the time, and they keep missing the point. Now, for kids, that's cute, all right? But when you're older, it's not cute when you miss the point on following Jesus, which is not to sit in church and just to have some fire insurance in case the rapture comes early so you know where you're going once you die. And I do believe the rapture can happen at any time, but in order to be ready, we have to operate our path. That is why we are here, to be vehicles for the gospel and spread light to the world so people who are hurting and wanting more can receive the goodness of the gospel. But you have to operate all paths. Can I get a Pentecostal amen? Amen. Thank you. All right, I'm going to read a passage from the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 19. You can flip to that because I'm going to quickly explain a few things, so I'll give you time. So before we read, first there's a word Christians like to use, and it's called a revelation. And a revelation is when God speaks to you. Then there's information. And that's what you get from people. Revelation is what you get from God. So you get information with no revelation, then that's like just being in school. Okay? But if you get revelation, that's when God speaks to you. You know when you're reading the Bible and the hamster starts running? And you're like, oh yeah, I'm getting this. That hamster's going in your brain. You're feeling it. You're feeling something different. That's a revelation. All right? And I believe if you're going to operate your path, you're going to need this revelation right here. You can write it down if you like. All right? Because when you die, God's going to go, hey, did you write down what Jesse said on January 27th? Okay? All right? Here's what it says. Who you are is not defined by what you do. It is defined by who Jesus is to you. Okay, I'm going to let that sink. We're going to repeat it again because this matters. Who you are is not defined by what you do. It is defined by who Jesus is to you. I heard that saying years ago, and it always stuck with me. And because we live in a world where having a label on your life is everything. Oscar Award winner, funniest comedian, best school teacher. We love having labels, right? But we serve a God, our God. We serve a God who never really had a label other than carpenter. Okay, pay attention. He had one job that never changed, but he was always the Messiah. I'm going to read a story about what Jesus did on just a normal day of him just walking down the street, operating his path. And that is in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Passing through. Let that sink. He wasn't just passing through. You know, his manager didn't schedule some meet and greet in Jericho. He was just passing through. Okay? Verse 2 says, a man was there by the name Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man like me, he could not see because of the crowd. And you know why that's interesting? He's talking about a physical stature because he was short. But you know, in our world, people who have short stature, metaphorically, meaning they don't have money that everyone says they should have. So maybe our society doesn't see them as who they really are. So because of their short status and culture, some people can't see Jesus. But in God's economy, you are worth a lot more, amen? And because of all that negativity of thinking, you get people who desperately need to see Jesus in Winnipeg and Lac-Da-Bonnie and all over the world, but they can't. Because this short status has been put upon them, and also the crowd is in their way. But I believe that this church is actively working into trying to get that crowd out of the way so these people can desperately see Jesus for who he really is. I have yet, in my life so far, the 26 years going on 27 that I've been on this earth, I have yet to meet somebody that didn't like Jesus, okay? All my friends, I have so many friends that aren't believers. When I talk about Jesus, they always go, oh, sounds like a great guy. But you know what I do run into? If they have a problem, it's because they get offended by the people who claim to follow Jesus. It's not that they have a problem with Jesus, it's that they get offended by the people who follow Jesus. And that's the crowd. So that's why I pray, like in this story, we can clean out the crowd so people can see Jesus for who he really is and eliminate the feeling of a short stature. So continuing, Zacchaeus can't see. So we're continuing to verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Thus we learn here that this was the first biblical example of somebody inviting themselves over for dinner. All right? But this is great. Jesus is just walking about, like it says, passing through. Sees this random little man in a tree, and he just thinks to himself, hey, I'm coming to your house. You're going to make me steak, potatoes, the works. All right? Jokes, people. Okay. Verse 6. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All these people saw this and began to mutter like Oscar the Grouch, and they said, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And I have cheated, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. I'm going to quickly take a sip of water. One of my youth put a refuge sticker on it. So, It's official. All right, the advertisement, absolutely. All right, I hope everyone is realizing how big of a deal all of this is. All Jesus did was go for a walk, and he sees a man in a tree, and the guy comes down from the tree, and just upon meeting Jesus, changes his entire life. Because by all accounts, he was most likely a crook. He had been robbing everybody, and just one encounter with Jesus changes his entire life. Understand this, Jesus was not going to a crusade. There was no entourage. No one was labeling that moment. Jesus labeled the path that day. For him, it wasn't just a walk. Jesus knew I might just be a carpenter, and I might not have a label, but what I'm doing right now isn't defined by all that, but it's defined by who I carry with me, and that's by having the wind of God guiding me wherever I go. Do you know that if you receive this revelation today, no one can ever label or define you because you get to choose who defines you? If you're somebody with a broken background, understand that God always has a brighter path for your future. You are not defined by that broken background. Right? To the people who are sitting in these seats right now, you are not just filling a seat. You're operating that seat. Because with that kind of operation, the worship is better, the preaching is better, and other people want to attend here because you're not just showing up. You are an important part of what God is doing here. So again, who you are is not defined by what others say. It's defined by who Jesus says you are. Think about this for a moment. What does this interaction right here, this right here, me to you, help you do? To my students, it can help them turn their schools into a revival. To some of you, it can turn Second Street into a glorious light because you operated that path with the label Jesus said you are. You want to know one of the labels Jesus said you are? Forgiven. Because of that label, you can operate that path today. Because he said, you're forgiven. I did it. Pay the price. You're forgiven. You can operate today. One thing I dislike people saying in youth ministry, it bothered me when I was in youth, and I kind of still hear it today, is that they tell young people that you're the leader of tomorrow. But when I hear that, I'm going, well, what does that tell me about today? Right? What does that tell me about today? You're the leader of tomorrow. No. I want to be the leader of today because I am forgiven. And because Jesus said, you are forgiven, that way now you can be a leader today, not just tomorrow. Most of our social reform in our country came from somebody labeling the path, not somebody labeling them. For example now, this isn't from our country, but I'm assuming most of us know who Nelson Mandela was. He changed a lot for his people. He was in prison for a huge part of his adult life, but he decided to turn that prison into a pulpit. He did. Did you know that most guards who guarded Nelson Mandela became saved? In fact, the prison had to keep switching guards because if anyone who was around him then became a Christian. Yeah, they'd be like, no, get out of here. You like this guy too much. Ever heard of a guy named Martin Luther King Jr.? He went on a march, but it wasn't just a march. This is key. It wasn't just a march. It was a movement. When God gets a hold of someone, it doesn't matter your background or what degree you have. Church, I don't have a degree, shocker, yet here I am, allowing God to use my wife to spark this town into operating some Jesus-filled walkways and streets in the town of Lactobani. Remember the donkey that Jesus rode on? Follow me here. I know this is strange. One day that donkey woke up one morning and it was just a donkey. Woke up, I'm just a donkey. Then all of a sudden, Jesus sits on him. And now that donkey, who thought he was just a donkey, had the King of all kings riding on him. I know that's a stretch, but come on, I found it interesting. Just a donkey, now Jesus is sitting on him. He could have sat on anything else, picks a donkey. This donkey's like, people think I'm worthless. Yet Jesus sits on him, and now this donkey's a famous donkey that we hear about in the Bible. So operate your path. And I'm going to say it again. It'll sound like a broken record. Who you are is not defined by what you do. It is defined by who Jesus is to you. Zacchaeus was a crook. The crowd defined Zacchaeus and called him a sinner. We have to get rid of that crowd. We have to be like Jesus, just passing through. You know, if you're shopping at Campbell's, you see someone is rushing all on edge. And, you know, you could do something as simple as, hey, like, you can get ahead of me in line. Go ahead, right? Let's just get ahead. Simple as that, you know? People don't forget those moments. I've never forgotten those moments. I remember one time 5 years ago when I didn't own my company yet, and I was going on this Tim Hortons off Henderson Highway, and I let this guy in ahead of me, and the next thing I knew, he paid for my coffee and sandwich. Never forgot it. Never forgot those moments. People don't forget those little, kind, nice moments. But here's the deal. I didn't get to see what that person looked like, but if you let somebody in at Campbell's, right, that's a face-to-face interaction. So now let's say they see you walking into Abundant Life, and they're going, oh, hey, that's that person that let me in. They go to that church? Maybe I'll check that out. That's a nice person, right? Little things like that. You know, we don't always have to be like, are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? We don't always have to do that. That's great, but some people get a little turned off by that sometimes. Sometimes the littlest things can turn to the biggest things. So notice one thing here. They see you walking into church. So now I'm going to leave you with one more thought. And that is operate planted. Sometimes we need to reach into the ground so God can help us back up. And the only way we can do that is if we operate planted. And I get this from Psalm 92, verse 12 to 13. It says this, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. There's another version of this that I like, and it's in the Message translation, and it says the word transplanted rather than planted. So to relate this better, we will flourish like a spruce tree in Canada, and we will grow tall and then be transplanted to God's courts where we will flourish. This is important to understand if you want to operate your path. This verse is painting a picture of you being in one type of area and then being transplanted into another. Meaning God grabbed you from the world and then planted you in his courts. Meaning it's God's job to make that happen, but it's your job to stay planted and to stay rooted. There's a lot of people who want to operate their path with God, but they don't want to stay planted when they do that. They don't want to stay put. They don't want to stay in one little area. They want to go around. That's great, but you need roots. You need roots. I'm going to get to that in a moment, why that is important. Because my final plea to you, church, is that when you leave here and you say to yourself, God, I want to operate my path, and God, I want to be rooted as well, not just being here and there, not just dating church, okay? Not just dating the things of God, but making a commitment to be planted in the Spirit. When you're planted, things will happen to you that you won't understand. You will end up with more gifts when you are planted in good soil. It all comes from this verse in Psalm 92. Here's a little something. Where did Jesus get the authority to call out the man in the tree and say, you come down, I'm coming to your house? I know what you're thinking. Well, he's the Son of God. Yes, you are right. Good observation. But it wasn't his job description. Oh, wait. So where did that authority come from? Because it wasn't from his job description as carpenter. Okay? It wasn't from where he was born because nobody knew where Bethlehem was. It wasn't from there. Where did Jesus get the authority to know that although I don't have any credentials in this world, I'm going to tell this guy to come down from that tree, this little man, and I will save him? It's in Luke 2:52, and it says this, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." How? Because he was rooted in the temple. If you read previous verses, you will find that when Jesus was a young boy, he became well planted within the church. And once you're properly planted, you can operate your path. See, that's what's the amazing thing. Jesus did a lot of work. Sometimes we just read what we like to read. We read the miracles. We read the this. We go, hey, he's a good guy. But yet we forget to realize some of the backstory of why he does that and how he does that. And one of the most important things, if you want to be a strong believer in your path and not just be a seat filler, and you want to go out in these streets of Lactobani and help people, is that you have to understand, where are you getting your nourishment from? Is it from good soil? I think this place is great soil. I don't know about you. I live in Winnipeg. I drive out here. I got an excellent family that lets Chelsea and I stay at their house every weekend. It's amazing. What a blessing. Little things like that. You don't forget. I'll never forget that. That's being properly rooted, little things like that, in the church, helping people. Because that's what Jesus did when he prayed in the temple. He got nourished from the church. So if you want to operate your path, if you want to do things that you feel like Jesus is calling you to do, where are you getting your information from? Where are you getting the proper nourishment from? Well, I read the Bible. Yeah, that's great. Part of it. Yeah, awesome. I go to Bible studies. Yeah, great, awesome. You go to church? Oh, I watch Mark Hughes, Church of the Rock. Yeah, I do that. Cool. How does that help your community? It doesn't. Helps my house. Keeps positive. Well, that's selfish. You become properly rooted in a church, you can do all things, and you would be amazed of the stuff that God will give to you. The moment that I and my wife, maybe some of my leaders can attest this too for our youth and some of the leaders here in our church, the moment that we really started to become rooted in the church and really started to help out at the church and really started to talk to people at the church and really started to do things in the church, things just got a whole lot better in our lives. And now because of that, I can finally operate my path. Because I got a bunch of healthy, awesome roots behind me also not being seat fillers in this church right here. And that's also important to note. It is 11:20. That was 20 minutes. That's the best that I can do. I've been going on a tangent for the past 5 minutes, all right? No, I'm kidding. All right? But in all seriousness, let this be your revelation. Let this be your revelation. Somebody, God's like this up here going, hey, listen. Who you are is not defined by who whatever somebody in your workplace says you are. You are defined by who Jesus says you are, and that is forgiven. And that you can't get any better than that, because now you can do it today. You don't have to do it tomorrow. Battling my alcohol addiction, it can be done today. It doesn't have to be done tomorrow, because you are forgiven. Whatever problem that you have, you are forgiven the moment that you put it down and you say, God, take this away and allow me to be properly rooted, operate my seat, operate my path, and just operate this town and this country to the best of our ability. Let us pray. I'm going to call up the worship team. Call up the worship team, Elaney. You could play No Longer Slaves. I like that song. It's great because you split the sea so I could walk right through it, because God has such amazing power. That could be a metaphorically sea, right? You split my addiction so I could walk right through it and be saved, because I am what? Forgiven. That's right. And I'm not forsaken. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for every person in this church, to the people that couldn't make it today. But God, I pray that there was a revelation today, that the people here are no longer going to be slaves to the people who define them, but they're now going to understand that because of today, I am defined by you. I am defined by what you have told me and what you have done. God, I pray somebody here that wants to do more in this church, that God, they stand up and they tell somebody and go, hey, can I do this? Maybe they want to help out a family, like, hey, can I do this? Maybe they've been seeing somebody in Campbell's or Dancet's or Red Apple or whichever store, and they've taken a step back from wanting to say something, that maybe finally, God, because of this revelation today, they are able to finally say something. Because today they're going to be properly rooted and not just be seat fillers. Today they understand that I really am forgiven, and all the problems that I had are washed away. In your name we pray. Amen.